Friends, it is that time. Welcome to each and every one of you to worship with the Stone Church of the Brethren community. I am so glad that you are here. I hope you will take a moment to let us know that you are here by clicking the link in the chat, following the QR code in your bulletin, or filling out the green pad in your pew. Church, we have been spread out all over Huntingdon and even around the world this week, doing the work of Christ, living as followers in our daily lives. And it is a gift for us to gather back in together, to celebrate, to build up, and to worship together. We are so pleased to have our very own Amanda Helfrich to talk to us about Camp Blue Diamond today. There are so many ways for us to support and be a part of the ministry of camp, and I hope that you hear something today that you want to know more about, or that sounds like a good place for you to connect and be a part of the ministry of camp. Rowan is working on a new directory for us, so if you have updates, changes in address or phone number or new email address, you can put those in the attendance information. If you want to make sure your information is included for the very first time, please also let us know that. And we are hoping for updated pictures. Pictures are a really helpful way for someone to be able to familiarize themselves with our community. But if, like me, you didn't have gray hair, or at least gray hair showing, the last time you submitted a picture, then it's probably time for you to update it. Thanks for the couple of people who laughed at that. Like, I was really proud of that line, guys. Jeez. Too close to home, sorry about that. We're also hoping to celebrate all of our graduates in May, which means that if you know someone who is graduating from high school, from college, or from some other degree program, please let the office know so that we can recognize their achievement. This morning, we are beginning a new series on the book of Acts. We often think that the early church witnessed the resurrection and then had it all figured out. Like, hey, we know what that means. And that the church, as it exists right now, just sort of came into being immediately after Easter. But the book of Acts shows us just how untrue that is. The church, at its best, is dynamic, growing, changing, open, seeking. So we are going to spend the next several weeks looking at the steps and missteps of the early church, and try to wonder a bit about our own. As the music of the prelude centers us into this time and place, I want to encourage you to write any prayer requests that you may have on the cards that you will find in your pew. We will collect those up at the children's time. Friends, church, let's bring our hearts, our minds, our full selves into this time, into this community, into the presence of God who is already here among us. Thank you. Please join with me in our call to worship. Look up, people of God. A new day has come. Christ is entering your lives in a new way. Christ is assembling our community in a new way. Christ is becoming part of the church in a new way. Look up, followers and seekers, disciples and friends. Look up, family of faith. A new day has come. Among us, Creator God, expand our wonder and stretch our imaginations. Give us a sense of your presence, moving among us, building us up, and leading us into new realities of who we may become in you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
This morning is from the books of Act, chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles to whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father, saying,
"This is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now."
So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus replied,
"It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "People of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
As our children make their way forward, I'm going to ask them to collect any prayer cards. Hold up a prayer card if you have it, and then take a wide berth around these bell tables. No running. Everyone. How is everyone this morning? Good? All right. Well, if you don't remember me, I know most of you, but my name is Amanda, and I work at Camp Blue Diamond, which is the greatest place on earth. Disney stole it from us, but we say it's the greatest place on earth. And I need you to help me out this morning. Can you guys name some unhealthy foods? Yeah. Donuts, yeah. Sugar. You can just shout them out.
Carrots. Cookies.
Cookies.
I learned that both eggs and the flour are raw. So, carrots, broccoli, asparagus.
Raw
chicken.
Sam.
Avocado. Raw chicken.
Right. It's unhealthy in a different way, yeah. Candy. Good, good. All right. What about some healthy foods? Oh, do you have one, Zach? An unhealthy food?
I got an unhealthy food.
Okay.
Twizzlers.
Twizzlers? Yeah, that could be an unhealthy too. Healthy foods?
Restaurant food. Cake. Sugar, sweets.
You're just doing a reverse psychology thing on me this morning. I figured this was how this would go. All right, well, this summer, every year at summer camp, we have a theme for our Bible study. And does anybody remember what the theme was last summer?
McDonald's.
You were there? It's okay if you don't. I was just trying to quiz you. The Bible study. It was called What's in a Name, but that's okay. You don't have to remember that. This year's Bible study is called Fruitful Faith, a Spirit-Filled Life. And we are looking at the part of the Bible where Paul writes a letter to the people in Galatia. And he's talking to them about some of the unhealthy things that they were doing. So just like you named unhealthy foods and healthy foods, he is talking to them about the unhealthy things they were doing and then naming some healthy things that they can do. And he calls them the fruit of the Spirit. Does anybody know some of the fruits of the Spirit? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. I've heard of it, and one of them is, I know there are nine, and one of them is faith.
Faithfulness, yeah, faithfulness, yeah, you're right. I had to sing through the song.
Trust me, you will never hear me sing it.
Okay, okay. Can you name some of them?
Jealousness.
Love, joy, faith,
jealousness.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see?
Jealousness, yeah.
All right, well, I think you guys know some of them. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all those. I know, almost said it. All right, so that is what we were talking about this summer. We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. So hopefully, I know several of you are signed up for camp already. At least half of you.
Yeah.
I know. It's awesome.
I can't wait.
So that's what we were talking about this summer. So during campfire, when people ask what the theme is, you'll say what? All right.
We have to sing
the
song.
No.
Yes.
So to help you.
If we did, I would just say watermelon.
Okay. After we're gonna have a prayer, but after we pray, we're gonna show a little video of the wrap up from last summer, and there are pictures of several of you that went to camp last summer. So
where's
look
the
out
TV?
For your. You can go back to your seats to see it because you probably won't be able to see it up here. But before you go, I have a little treat for you to remember
the fruits of the Spirit.
Okay.
Will you pray with me real fast?
You can repeat after me. Dear God.
Thank you for guiding us.
Thank you for guiding us.
Help us to live out
the fruits of the Spirit.
The fruits of the Spirit
in our everyday lives. Amen.
Okay, you guys can take a piece of fruit and then we can go back to your seats to watch the video.
No music to that. Usually there's a song, but you get the general gist. Hopefully that's a good glimpse into our lives at summer camp. I saw a lot of familiar faces from here, so it's always a great time. Again, good morning. I am the office administrator at Camp Blue Diamond. I'm also the district youth coordinator for the district, but here in wearing the camp hat today. Just wanted to say thank you to you guys as a congregation for your support in many different ways, through sending campers to summer camp, through your allocations throughout the year, support of capital campaign that just finished up, attending or supporting annual dinner, heritage fair, all kinds of things throughout the year. Thank you for your financial and prayerful support for all of our different events. If you don't know, Camp Blue Diamond is about half an hour from here in the Rothrock State Forest. We have 238 acres there. We serve about 350 campers a summer and then about 1,000 kids for outdoor school in the spring and fall through Shavers Creek Outdoor School Program in Penn State. So that definitely keeps us busy. We just finished our fourth of 5 weeks of outdoor school this spring. So we've already served, I think it was calculated the other day, like 4,000 meals just in outdoor school, not including other rental groups or annual dinner. So we've been busy. Some upcoming events, just a couple. We have Breakfast with the Birds on May 12th and 13th. Our program director, Gabe Immler, is a big bird enthusiast, and he will lead us around on May 13th, Saturday morning, bright and early, to see what birds we can find. And if you want to come before, the night before, I think he does some owl calling and a little night hike, and then you can be there and don't have to travel that morning. So that's a fun event coming up, as well as Senior Adult Day on June 2nd. I don't have any flyers for that yet, but Senior Adult Day is coming back, and that'll be on June 2nd, and then summer camp starts right after that. So we are gearing up for summer. We're really excited. Summer brochures are out. I know many people from this congregation are already signed up, but if you haven't, we still have many spaces available. Caving Camp, Junior Adventure, and Yacht Adventure are all closed. All the adventure camps that we have limited space for to begin with, but all the other camps are open. Just a brief overview, Kitty Weekend and Kitty Camp for pre-K, kindergarten, and first graders. With a parent is just 2 days and one night. Tenderfoot and Pioneer are 2 and 3 days respectively. That's for first, second, and second, third, and fourth graders to come for a little bit shorter of a time. And then there's the junior camps. Those are week long. And then as you get older, there's more camps available. The junior high, creative arts, caving, yacht adventure, and then for high school, there's youth camp, outdoor living skills, and CIT camp, which is counselor in training. If you think you might want to be a counselor someday, that's for 9th through 11th graders. That is available to come volunteer for a week and under the watch of a counselor and get to lead with that. And then we have family camp as well. Anyone can come to family camp. I know several families from Stone have attended in the past. It's a great time. Debbie Eisenbeiss from Elgin area, it leads that camp for us. She does a great job. It's a fun time. We have some soap hockey and climbing the climbing tower and swimming and all kinds of fun stuff for that. We've had 6-month-year-old babies all the way through 70, 80-year-olds come to family camp, so anyone can come to that. And then one I did want to highlight is cooking camp. That one is not during the summer. It's here in May, May 19th through the 21st, I believe. That's for 5th and 6th graders, and that's just a weekend long. Shawnee, our food service director, leads that. They cook all their own meals, learn food handling skills, and clean up, and then get to take the recipes home with them So that is a great time, and it has more space in it. So if you have a fifth and sixth grader who is interested in that, sign up soon. We do have a new tiered pricing this year, where you kind of pick what you can afford to pay, and that only the office knows that. So there's three different fees. The standard fee is just the fee that makes it possible for everyone to come to camp. The supporters fee is like $50 higher than that, and that helps us to, it more accurately reflects the cost to come to camp, including like maintenance and electricity and paying our counselors and that kind of thing, food. And then the sustainer's fee is $50 above that, and that just helps us to continue the ministry of camp for years to come and maintain buildings and that kind of thing. So you pay what you can afford or what feels right to you, and that does not lot. We've gotten some questions about the church's portion. That is just for figuring out your fee, your portion of the fee. The church will get that same option later when they are billed. So like I was trying to talk with the children, our theme this summer is fruitful faith, a spirit-filled life, and just talking about, again, Paul's letter to the church in Galatia and how we can live out the fruits of the Spirit in our life. So it's a great theme. We're excited for it, and we're excited to see how the kids engage with that this summer. Again, summer camp is just a concentrated time. It's an important time for us. Concentrated time to learn about God and a Christian community. It's an opportunity for kids to experience nature and be completely immersed in it for the time that they are there, learn about creation, environmental care, as well as make new friends, have an adventure in a fairly safe environment. And most of all, it's fun. So encourage you all, if you have kids or grandkids or neighbors or whoever, invite them to come to camp. It's a wonderful time. We are still looking for a few counselors, probably one more female counselor and then several more male counselors. So if you know of anyone who is 18 or a graduate of high school who would be good with kids and likes the outdoors and likes that environment, encourage them to apply, and we would appreciate it. Other ways you can support us, most of all through prayer. We just covet your prayers this summer and this season as we go into this, and we will sure to have a good summer. One other, I just wanted to do a capital campaign update because I know you guys contributed to that, so thank you for that. We our goal was $650,000 to be pledged, and we have over $700,000, so we met and went above that goal. The fundraising is done. We're about at the end of the giving, actually. And the reserve for replacement fund was also put into place. That is just so we don't have to do another capital campaign with every like small project that comes up. We take a certain percentage out of that every year to maintain buildings or for a new building project or something that's a little smaller that we wouldn't have to do a whole campaign for. So that has about $52,000 in it as well. The first project of the capital campaign was to put new campground water and electric lines in. That was done in 2019, I believe, 2018, somewhere in there. And then the office renovation was the second project to take the whole, it used to be the office and the shop, and we took over the whole building for the office. So that is done as well. And then the third project is the campground, building a new wash house in the campground. That is nearly done. We had to wait a while on some well issues and inspections and stuff, but that's almost done. It should be done hopefully before summer. And then the fourth project is to build a new large multi-purpose building. And plans have been made for that. Meetings have been held. I'm not on that committee, so I'm not really sure where they are with that, but I know they're looking at some sewage issues and options with that. So, but they're about to move forward with building that new building, which will be a great addition to for an indoor space for outdoor school and summer camp when it rains, that we don't really have when a whole bunch of tables are set up in the dining hall. So that is our capital campaign update. If you have any other questions, just questions about summer camp or other things going on during the year, I will be available after church. David Meadows is also your camp rep for Stone, so he is knowledgeable as well. Thank you for your support, endless support in sending campers and paying a portion of campers' registrations and coming to different events and just prayerfully supporting us as well. We really appreciate it, and we hope to see you sometime this year.
Thank you, Amanda. Friends, as we move through this building blocks series, one of the pieces around figuring out how to be the church together is that we have to work together. We're on the same team. And as anyone who has been on a team knows, in order to work well together, to truly care for one another and the mission, we must know each other and invest in each other. So we are going to have a time of passing the peace each week of this series, a moment to greet one another, to remind each other of our names and our connections. Now, if your anxiety just went up, take a deep breath. This is really easy. All you have to do is approach someone and say, "This is my name." I would say, "Hi, I'm Pastor Cindy," and then take another breath so that they can respond with their name. Like, "Hey, I'm Pastor Ben." Exactly. And then you might say, "May the peace of Christ be with you." Take another breath, because they might respond with, "And also with you." Or they might just say, "Peace to you." And then, if you're really brave, you could ask another question. "How was your week? Did you enjoy that bell piece? Oh, are you the one that we've been praying for?" Something to keep the conversation going, something that might deepen the connection. Or not. You may have the initial exchange and move on to another person and start over. If you're on Zoom, you are welcome to unmute if you choose to do so and greet each other in that space as well. You don't have to worry about the time it's taking. You can get out of your pew and do this. My job is to worry about the time. So you worry about connecting. The music will bring us back. Let's share together in a time of greeting and peace.
Hi, everyone. Peace. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Peace to everyone.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you can hear me. It's such a pleasure to be with you.
That's my brother.
My sister. I'm very lucky.
We might make it back to the camper in time for me to hook you up again.
I'm so glad Karen introduced me to this church.
Good morning, Karen. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you.
Good to see everybody.
Peace be with you.
And also
peace be with you guys too. Hey, Pam.
I'm just scrolling through here. Who have I not seen for a while?
I know.
Hey, Chris. Beautiful pictures on Facebook of how gorgeous everything is outside. Thanks for sharing.
I was really interested in the news about camp. There's so much going on and such variety of
There you are. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, hi.
How are you feeling, hon?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, just hanging in here. Mm-hmm. It could be worse. I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Doris's iPad, it looks like it's on the rug or something. Doris, if you're there, good morning.
Hi, Shelby.
Oh, Shelby.
Thanks, Doris.
Good morning, Pam.
Hello, Roxanne. Is John there too? Morning. He is not. My mother's. He's with his mama, so. All right, looks like Karen's getting ready to leave, so have a blessed week, Karen.
Bye, sis.
Okay. Yeah, they muted the sound so we could hear each other.
From church. There was quite a roar. It was quite a roar.
It was quite a roar. Yeah.
But it's good to have that. It's good to have that.
Yes. I agree. I remember those days.
Yeah. Well, the Camp Blue Diamond videos brought back memories.
Demo.
Who's that?
Those kids are adorable.
Oh, they are.
Oh my god.
They're better.
I had a smile on my face the whole time.
Yeah. They're great.
Yeah, such beautiful little faces.
And they're so comfortable in the situation, yeah. Which is what I like.
You gotta love children, you know?
Yeah, you sure do.
You sure do. Such innocence. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I always joke that no matter how bad life is, if I hear little kids laughing, everything's fine.
I'm going to remember that. That sounds like a real good thing to think about.
Yeah.
Is that Perry, Pam? Yes, this is Cecilia and Maya's child, Perry Scott.
Wait a minute. I got to go back and see you. There you are.
How old is
We're spending 2 weeks together.
Oh, good.
What a beautiful little face.
I've seen pictures on Facebook.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, grandma's always grabbed the cheeks and sweet as I can understand. I'm getting old.
Looks like we're going to get more bells. How lovely.
Yeah, they're amazing. Hey, Boo.
Hey there.
All of us
are sweetie.
You're doing good. Come back to the chair and
work. Hey, guys. Sorry, I am your best sister. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to flaunt it, but you know. Can't be her.
Great.
Draw near to one another and to God as we lift the prayers of this community, as we hold one another in the fullness of life. Let's pray. God, in so many moments of our lives, it can feel like you were just with us. And then, just as clearly, it feels as if you are gone, leaving us dumbfounded, staring up to heaven, looking for hope, for reassurance. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit, for this unifying force that blows as it chooses, enlivening our world with your presence. But God, please help us to sense her, near to us, powerfully at work in our lives, and in the lives of those whom we love. We pray for Chris, who's grieving the loss of her brother, even as she is also in the midst of her own health issues. We pray for Jeff and Daisy's brother-in-law, Don, who will have surgery this week to remove a cancerous mass on his lung. God, we ask for peace and comfort for John and for his mom as she is approaching the end of her life. We pray for Terry, who's so glad to be out of the hospital, but who continues to have ongoing complications from COVID. For Lisa and Jay, after the loss of their home in a fire. God, we pray for Steve's cousin, Steve, as he begins chemotherapy. And for Bill, who's experiencing significant pain. We pray for relief from that pain and for his peace. We pray for Gail, who's still waiting for answers, and for Patty's mom, Lucy. We pray that she may have clear direction, clear next steps for her health, and that there may be a sense of calm in her fear. We pray for the many within our family of faith who are living with cancer and cancer treatments, for Val, for Samantha, for Chris, for Roxanne's friend, Lori. God, we pray for Abby's son, Luke, who was in a car accident this week, and he needs a job. In order to have his job, he needs to have his car again. And we pray for the Juniata student, Nick, who had a really scary medical event, and for all those who surround him in this time. May our prayers surround each one of these people and these situations, even as we take this prayer into tangible ways of support, being church and community and family, being the body of Christ to one another. Lord, we know that your reach and that our care extends out beyond ourselves and out into the community and the world that surrounds us. Hear us as we pray for people around the world who do not have access to safe drinking water. Help us to feel like one with the world as a family. Hear our prayers for peace in the midst of violence, for creativity and connection in the midst of division, for openness and hope in the midst of depression and despair. God, we are so grateful for the many gifts of this community, for the ways in which each of us is a valued part. Help us keep living into that reality in all that we do. Even as we pray alongside one another in gratitude for all the good things in our lives, in gratitude for Nick, Daisy, and their new daughter, Hazel. And as we pray alongside our sibling of faith, praying for the Holy Spirit to lead us into joining the everlasting song and crowning him Lord of all of us, regardless of our gender expression, of all of us, regardless of sexual orientation, to lead us into expanding our vision of community, to lead us into building a new community. Lord, we know that this family of faith is a gift, and that it is also a challenge, a place where we can grow, a place where we can learn. So God, we pray that you will forgive us for the times that our vision stays too small, for the ways that our thinking becomes too narrow, for when our love lacks courage and our witness is weak. Keep us returning again and again to the fullness of your revelation in Jesus, recognizing that disciples then and disciples now carry a strange mixture of confusion and joy, hope and doubt, fear and awe. Help us embrace our wonder as part of what makes our faith strong, because you are out beyond our imaginations and yet so tenderly, consistently close at hand through Jesus and the Spirit. Amen.
The day that Everett was born didn't exactly go according to script. First of all, he came 3 weeks early, just like his dad. We had planned to spend the weekend, Cindy and I, putting the finishing touches on the nursery and preparing for our boy, and instead, we were rushing to the hospital. Unfortunately, when he was ready to be born, his lungs weren't yet, also like his father. And so an alarm sounded, and a bunch of doctors and nurses swooped into the room, and the next thing I knew, we were rushing off down the hall to the NICU. It took just about a week for his lungs to catch up with the rest of him. And when we were ready to head home, I still remember this moment. We'd been visiting with him there in the NICU, in the little incubator for days, holding him even with all those tubes and wires. And now the tubes and the wires were gone. And he was dressed in this tiny little outfit and buckled into his car seat. And then she said it. The nurse who'd been caring for him looked at us and smiled, and she said, "Goodbye." I remember panicking, thinking, "Wait, what? You're leaving us in charge? This is an important job. Don't you need to check my credentials or something? I don't actually know anything about raising a baby. Sure, I'd read some books, we'd taken a class, but this was the real thing. And they were just handing him over to us. I was terrified. Our scripture passage this morning opens up a little bit like those TV shows used to. You remember back in the days before you could just stream the whole season in a day? Back when you used to have to wait a whole week to find out what happened next. They'd start out, "Previously on Star Trek," or whatever show you watched when you were growing up. And then they'd give you this series of clips to remind you what had happened, to remind you where you were in the story. That's how this one opens. The book of Acts is like volume 2 in the story of Luke's account of the gospel. And so it opens with a reminder to the reader about where we left off at the end of volume 1. Luke's gospel actually ended with the ascension of Jesus into the heavens, the same story that he retells here at the beginning of Acts. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now here they are, and Luke gives us all these echoes to remind us of the rest of the story. They're back in Jerusalem, the same place where Luke's gospel begins and ends. They're on the Mount of Olives, no less, where not so long ago Jesus was betrayed. We get echoes in this passage that Daisy and Jeff read of the words spoken at Jesus' baptism. And then there are the two men in the white robes reminding us of the messengers at the empty tomb. The stage is set. But things are about to change. The disciples still don't get it. We like to think that after Jesus' resurrection, at the end of the gospel story, all the pieces came together, aha, and everything made sense. But here in the beginning of Acts, we find them just as confused as ever. This is actually quite comforting to me. The illusion that the first Christians, the early church, had it all figured out so can so easily slide into the dangerous thinking that we've got it all figured out, or that we're supposed to have it all figured out. They had it figured out, and so we're being like them, so we have it figured out. We can have it figured out too. But that's not the way the story goes. Throughout the whole book of Acts and beyond, the early church doesn't have it figured out. They are figuring it out. Maybe that gives us permission to be figuring it out too. Little by little, block by block, they and we are building the kingdom of God together. The disciples ask Jesus, "So, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" They're stuck on Palm Sunday and the big parade, still waiting for the overthrow of Rome and the kingdom they were expecting. Now, granted, the detour through the cross threw them for a loop. But now Jesus is back, and he's called them all together. Maybe this is it. Is this the time when it happens? Like kids on a road trip saying, "Are we there yet?" And Jesus says, "None of your business." "It's not for you to know the times. Don't worry about when. Just do the work, because I've got a job for you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The gospel rippling outward like a shockwave from the epicenter out towards the ends of the world. The passage ends with the names of these followers of Jesus. It's like the title sequence in a show, introducing the characters that we're going to be following throughout Luke's volume 2. Because the camera is shifting. In volume 1, it was on Jesus, and these others were just in his wake. But now the camera's shifting, moving on to them, these men and women who will bear witness to the good news. In some ways, they're starting from scratch. They have no idea what they're doing. I bet they were terrified. Cindy reminded me the other day how it was that we made it through back when we brought Everett home for the first time. We had this great pediatrician, Dr. Lauby. She'd been doing this for a long time. She stopped in with us before we left the hospital. I probably expressed some of my terror. And she smiled, a bit too calmly, I thought, given the dire nature of the situation. She said, "You can do this. You just have to make it to tomorrow when you're going to see me at my office. The appointment is already on the books. Here's what you need to know to make it through the next 24 hours. Then the next day at her office, she said, "You did great. You just have to make it through the next 3 days. I'll see you back here then. Here's what you need to know to make it through the next 3 days." We weren't alone. I felt alone, but we weren't. And it wasn't just Dr. Lauby. We had each other and our parents and a whole church family there in Lancaster that loved us too. This is what Jesus tells the disciples when they're terrified. "Wait, what? You're leaving us in charge? It's an important job. We don't actually know anything about carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth." And so Jesus tells them what to do to get through the first few days. He tells them they can do this. He tells them to go back to Jerusalem and to wait, that the Holy Spirit is coming not many days from now. They are not alone. And when they go, they've got each other. The whole lot of them, men and women, disciples of Jesus, devoting themselves to prayer together. With Jesus' ascension, the story passes on to them and on to us. As William Loder says it, you and I are the place of the promise of the kingdom now. Yet ultimately, the kingdom is God's reign, God's effort, God's gift. We're not asked to usurp God, just to share in God's purpose and by God's Spirit to become God's action in the world. Amen. as our service together comes to a close this morning, you are invited to remain seated for the postlude and allow the joy of the bells to carry you into your week. Then, as we go from this place, may we go living the good news, figuring it out, as block by block we take part in building the kingdom of God together. You just have to make it to next week. We'll see you back then.